The book of Ephesians. I think we got through the first scripture last time we were talking. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Say it, God is good.
God is good.
Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read this again, but we're going to kind of blow through it and move on to some other things. Talk to you today about standing. And standing is not a work. Standing is not a work of the flesh. Standing is a work of faith. It's a product of faith. It's a product of the Word of God. Amen. Standing is a product of the Word of God. It's not something you do. It's something you believe. It's something you stand because you have already received. Amen. It's not something. Well, I'm trying to stand, brother. No. You don't try to stand. You stand because you're already standing. Amen. You stand because you're already standing. What do I mean by stand? Whatever it is that is happening in your life, whatever it is that is happening in your personal walk with people and your personal walk with God, you are standing already. You can never be defeated. You can never be knocked down. Amen. I said amen. Well, good preaching so far. Hallelujah. Now, there's so many things that come against us, and so many things that come in, and so many. I mean, every day there could be something. Every day there could be something, some phone call, some news story, some family member comes home with some thing that popped up, you know, and we're just banded about by all of these things that show up on our doorstep day after day. Amen. See, that's what the world wants you to do. That's what the news is all about. Oh my goodness, what's happening today? Let's turn on Walter Cronkite. Boy, it shows your age, doesn't it? Find out what's happening today. You know, turn on, you know, the local news and find out what's happening. You know, I don't mind finding out if the road construction is going to be in my way. That's one thing. But when they start telling me to fear, and when they start telling me every story that causes fear to come and say, well, everything is going down or everything is happening this way, it's to, you know, so many of the times it's to get you to buy something. Everybody remember Y2K?
Yeah.
There were some guys making money. There were some Christians making good money on Y2K. Amen? They might have believed it too, but I'm telling you what. I mean, there were some product changing hands back during those days. I think there's still some beans under my house that Jim can have because he bought my house and I think it's still under there. Amen? How many of you, never mind, I don't ask you how many of you bought beans and corn and red wheat packaged in nitrogen? It's the good stuff. We had barrels of water that were this big. About that big. I mean, huge barrels of water. You pour them up, you may put a little bleach in them, and you're going to keep it for years. Just in case the worst happens. The Bible didn't tell you to do that, did it? Nope, didn't say. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take to you, says it again, the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, man, how many times are you going to say that? Stand therefore, what? Here it is. Having your loins girt about with truth. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the word of God, of the Spirit, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All right. Where he says back there, standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now we look over it. If you look over it, if you want to write these down, because I'm going to move around a lot today. And it'd be better for you to write them down. That way you can go look at them. Okay? Because I'm going to go jump into them. And if you're fast, that's fine. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4 is verse 23. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So being renewed in the spirit of your mind, how do you do that? Okay, remember that one, 4, 23 and 24. Just look over at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're comparing Scripture to Scripture. Many of the passages that Paul and Paul, Peter, and John are talking about when they're writing their letters are coming from one thought to another, one circumstance to another that they're comparing. But what I'm describing to you is how they approach the mind in the same way. They approach standing and they approach the mind and taking authority over that, over your brain and the runaway functioning of your brain, and they take command over it the same way. All right? Some of you have your brain running away. It's like what Holly was talking about it just here a little while ago. And so she was talking about the fact that patience is something that is not something that we're to go after, but to know that God is desiring for us to slow down, and He's going to work that in us. And Meg shared as well that God's goodness is following us all the days of our life. And she had a word, a prophetic word for that, which is slow down. When the word is following you, slow down. Let it catch up. Because you're running so fast, you're just wandering around out there trying to make things happen and trying to keep things from happening. Amen? I mean, you're always busy trying to juggle 18 balls. And you only got two hands and 2 feet. And you just can't do it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 is the wrong verse. No, it isn't. I'm in 2 Peter. I should be in 1 Peter. Why does God do that? Verse 13 in 1 Peter chapter 1, wherefore, gird up the loins, where? Of your mind. So, when we were in Ephesians, the armor says, having your loins girt about with truth. Well, where are your loins? 1 Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, back in Ephesians 4, we read there in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the girding up the loins in your mind and being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then look over at Romans chapter 12. So if you write all these together and just read them one after the other together, you're getting a picture of what God is talking about in causing your mind is to reign in your mind. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Very similar to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. To prove something is to test it. To make sure it runs, to make sure it is doing what it's designed to do, to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you'll remember, there are several declarations of what happens in a Christian's life to grow. You grow from what? Faith to faith. From glory to glory. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. You're growing. Say, I'm growing. See, some people say, I'm not growing. I'm not growing. No, you are growing. Listen, stick with the Word of God and you will grow. Don't have to figure it out. Just let it be planted as a seed on the inside of you and you are growing. You will grow. See, what happened was God put seed on the inside of you. And then when you have children, they look like you. Amen? So when you're planting the Word of God, Mark 4, on the inside of you, it comes out and it looks like God. Amen? I will put your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So if you put your Word, His Word, in your heart, what's going to happen? It's going to bring forth fruit. It's going to bring forth not sin. Amen? It's not because you read it and, oh my gosh, I got to do that now. No. You just put it in there and you meditate upon it day and night. And it's transforming you and changing you. And it turns you right into what it is. Because every seed, even in Genesis, it says God put seed in everything to produce after its own kind. Yes, He did. He put seed in everything to produce after its own kind. And so when I put the Word of God in my heart, I'm transformed and changed. Now, we're talking about standing. We're talking about what the Word of God does to cause you to stand. All right? We can look over to Exodus 14. And like I said, we're going to go back and forth here and there. So Exodus 14. I didn't do as good on my page markers as I did for the kids this morning because I knew I wasn't going to have them for very long. You, I got as long as I want. Hallelujah. I heard one amen and a couple of chuckles. All right, 14 verse 13. Exodus 14. And Moses said to the people, verse 13, "Fear you not. Stand still." Well, there you go. There's that patience. There's that patience scripture again. You're running around like a chicken with your head cut off. He said, "Stand still." See, they're standing outside on the edge of the Red Sea. Here come the Egyptians, and it doesn't look like it's goodness and mercy this time that's following you. Looks like something else. Looks like bad news. Anybody ever had bad news follow you? Trying to catch up with you? He said, and then God does something silly like says, "Stand still." He says, "Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." So He says, "Stand still and see the glory of God." So we're going to stand still and see the glory of God. Amen? So in other words, fill yourself up with the Word of God. Fill yourself up with the truth, with what God's promise is. Because our faith is not based on doing something right. Our faith is based on a promise that God made. Amen? He's made a promise, and He is good for it. He's made a promise, and He says, "You will no longer see that enemy." So that's His promise. Oh, it looks like I see them. They're still there. God is taking care of you. God is taking care of you. He's changing you, bringing you. Many times you're not gonna see the answer the way you think you ought to see it. What you're going to see is yourself being transformed. That you are no longer walking in fear. You're no longer walking in being afraid of what's coming what's going to come next. But you are confident that whatever God has, whatever is happening in this life, God has got you covered. He loves you. He, in fact, is using you to be a declaration and a light in that circumstance. He doesn't want you to run away from it and be protected from it. What he wants for you to be able to do is to cause that thing to be dispersed right in front of you by His promise and by His Word. Amen? No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what the problem is God is working in you to get rid of the enemy. Amen? Whatever it appears to be, you're not to be afraid of it because you are no longer of this world. Now, granted you live here, granted you got the house here, granted you got A, B, and C in this from this flesh. But this flesh is no longer you. This flesh is no longer you. This flesh is the love of God flowing out of you. That's where that comes from, is the love of God flowing out from you. You, in fact, are not out to fix up yourself and make sure that everything is working properly and everything is functioning just like things in this world should function. But rather, to trust God for those issues and to know that you are His vessel. You are the vessel of God. That's what you are. That's why you're here. You're not here for any other reason. You're not here for any other reason than to demonstrate the love of God to the neighbor, the love of God to somebody else. That's it. That's the only reason that you're still here. Because you live in heaven. You live in heaven. Stand still and see the glory, the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you this day. Now, okay, I want you to look over at Matthew chapter 12. And it's going to talk about a kingdom divided. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 25 and 26. And Jesus knew their thoughts. Let's back up here a little bit. He had delivered a guy from a devil. Then was, verse 22, then was brought to Him one possessed with a devil. Blind and dumb, couldn't talk. And He healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spoke and saw. Well, what does that mean that He healed him? Well, the guy who couldn't speak and see, when Jesus was finished, he spoke and he saw. So that, it was a real live healing. It wasn't some kind of, well, what does healing mean? Well, it means He got him saved. No. He spoke and he saw. That's what Jesus does. When He heals, He makes somebody who can't speak and can't see, speak and see. Well, that was spiritual. No, it wasn't. It was actual all the way down to the mouth and the eyes. And all the people were amazed, verse 23, and said, "Is this not the son of David? Is this not the promised Messiah?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out devils, but by the devil himself, by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, and how shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come to you." The kingdom of God is come to you. So every kingdom divided itself against itself cannot stand. So you've got a kingdom going on the inside of you, but you also got a brain that was kind of raised up in this world. Amen? And the Word of God is dividing, Hebrews 4, dividing between soul and spirit and causing you to stand. Causing you to stand. The Word of God is causing you to stand. The Spirit is revealing the Word of God. I said last time, Paul was filled with the Word of God. He was filled with the Old Testament. But then the Spirit of God came and touched that Word. And now we have the bulk of the New Testament because of the Spirit that touched and revealed the mystery of God from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That's what the Spirit of God does for the Word of God on the inside of you. So it causes your kingdom to no longer be divided. You are standing because you are, the Spirit of God is revealing to you and in fact enacting in you everything that you need. Everything that you need is being imparted to you through the Word of the Lord by His Spirit. He in fact applies the Word correctly. That's where wisdom comes from. The spirit of wisdom comes when the Word of God is applied to your every circumstance. And that's what God does through the Spirit when you are worshiping Him, praising Him, thanking Him, not worrying about the problem or the issue that's come up in your life. Not worrying about the issues that are coming about in your life. This is a daily transformation. A daily transformation. Because how many of you wake up daily here? Wake up. You wake up daily in your bed, in your house, and go do whatever it is that you end up doing that you're called to do or you have to do. Whether it's children, whether it's job, whether it's school. Whatever it is, you wake up to that every morning. Amen? I said every morning. You woke up this morning. At least those of you that are here. It's great to have tapes. Now the people who are hearing this who weren't here, you know, they're still sleeping. Bedside assembly. But you wake up every morning. So therefore, every morning, you need to break your fast. Have breakfast. Amen? You need to bring the Word of God into your everyday situation, into your everyday life. Amen?
Amen?
Huh? Every day. Because you wake up here every day. I mean, if you don't have that every day, then you're not, then the world has one up on you. And I'm not telling you how to be good. What I'm telling you is how to allow the Word of God to transform you. Amen? I'm telling you to allow the Word. Why am I having so much trouble? I got the Word of God in me. I know what it says. Yeah. But you're not getting it. You're not getting it. It's not that you know what it is and you know what it say. Amen? It's because you don't have it coming in you every morning. I mean, you may know. I mean, your oatmeal doesn't do you any good in the pantry, does it? I said, does it? No, you got to eat it every day. You got to have it every day. This Bible is, this Word of God is what? It's food. It's food. Amen. You got to have it every day. Well, I already had oatmeal, so I don't need it anymore. I already had it once. I know what it tastes like, so I don't need it anymore. Is that true? Your body's crying out. It said, give me the oatmeal. I want some of that again. Give that to me again. No, you already had that. You don't need it. Your spirit's crying out the same thing. Say, give me some of that! Because you're waxing old and weak and feeble because you don't have daily nourishment. Amen? Hallelujah. That's a kingdom divided against itself. Why? Because the kingdom of this world is winning. Because you're feeding it. You're at least waking up, taking a shower, and going to work. You're feeding it. You know, you're getting a paycheck on that baby. But then all of a sudden the Word of God is languishing. Your spirit's going, like, you know, feed me. Just a little cold snack on Sunday morning. You've heard that one. Amen. Hallelujah. So keep it up. Again, it's not a work. It doesn't make for God to love you better. Amen. It doesn't make for God to love you better. He just loves you so much. He just wants to come and hug you and love you and hang out with you. You know, but He does it through the Word. He's not ornery. It's just that's where He lives. Amen? He lives on the inside of you. And that's where you fellowship together, around his word, around his promise. Around his promise is where you fellowship together. Amen? See, that's what I'm going to teach these kids. But don't depend on me. You need to teach them. Amen? See, you need to teach them. Hallelujah. You need to teach them. You know? Because, I mean, if I'm the only guy that says anything about it, it doesn't mean anything. Amen? If the pastor or the preacher is the only guy that says anything, but at home, it's like, we don't pay attention to that guy over here. We just do what we want. Well, what do you think your kids are hearing? They're hearing that. They're hearing, okay, well, they don't take that guy seriously. Amen? Amen. So they don't take that guy seriously. They just, whatever. We'll just go to church and get it once a week. That's good enough, isn't it? Well, it would be good enough if that was the mechanics of it, but it doesn't work that way. Amen? It doesn't work that way. What it works is that you're filling it, you're constantly girding up the loins of your mind. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. 1 Peter 1:13. See, we got that one right finally, didn't we? So your kingdom is not divided against itself. It doesn't have one kingdom that's the kingdom of this world that you're living in is getting built up day by day. And then the kingdom of heaven on the inside of you is getting weaker day by day because it's neglected. Amen? So the word of, listen to me, it's very important. The word of God being planted in your heart that I might not sin. It's not so I know it so I'll be careful not to. No. It's not that so you'll be careful not to sin because I know better. That's not why you plant that word. You plant that word because it creates a transformation. It changes you. It actually changes you. And it don't cost you no money. We got a Bible here. I'll give it to you. Amen? I said, we got a Bible here. You don't have one, I'll give it to you. You can read it. It's for free. It's for free. I'm telling you, it's for free. And you just read that thing, and God begins to change you and transform you. And it's a brand new thing. And then He begins to use you, and you don't even know what you're going to do tomorrow. Because He's going to work with you. Okay? Mark 3:3. I got 25 scriptures. How many have I been through? Two. Well, we're not having lunch this afternoon, so we got time. All we got is time. Mark 3:3. And he entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Is that like you? Man there had a withered hand. I had a shoulder thing going on a couple of years ago, and I got to where I'd protect it by holding my hand up like this. I'd find myself going past a mirror and have my hand up like this. I said, oh man, looks like my withered hand. Because I was just trying to keep my... It hurt more when I let my arm go down low, so I pulled it up like this. Then I find myself, I got this lousy habit. See, if you ever see me walking around like this, it's because I just got in the habit of holding my arm up. But anyway, so this guy had a withered hand just like this. Except it was really withered. It was a dead hand. It was dead. The hand was dead. And they watched him, Jesus, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. See, they didn't care about the guy who needed healing. They just cared about whether he was going to keep the law or not, whether he was going to break the law, whether they could catch him. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Now you'll say, what does that have to do with standing? Stand forth. That's an obedience deal. Amen? That's obedience. Yeah, he was sitting over here in the corner. You know, kind of, and he saw, what did it say? And there was a man there. He didn't say the guy came up. He said there was a guy there. He said, you there, stand forth. Come out and stand right out here in front. And he said to the Pharisees over here, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And they just watched the guy. And when he had looked around about him on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other one. But he told the man, what did he tell him to do? Now, he was going to make a point to the Pharisees, but what about the man? Jesus cared about the man. He was angry with the Pharisees because they had some law that says you can't do good on the Sabbath day. He told the man to stand for it. And that's what he's telling you to do. Stand for it. Come out. Come out from among. Come out from behind. Don't be standing behind. Don't be hiding in a corner. But allow, come. Jesus has made you a promise, and he is going to meet your need today. Come out. Stand forth. Stand forth. And he said, stretch out your arm. And it was healed as the other. Again, to stand. To stand. Mark 11:25. I'll just tell you this one. He says, when you stand praying, forgive. When you stand praying, I'm standing, I'm, you know, praying to God. He says, forgive. God, I'm before you, calling out your promise. He said, forgive. Another scripture says, let him that thinketh he standeth. I think that's more like this guy. When let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. That's the guy who's got the Word of God in his brain, but is not allowing the Holy Spirit to daily transform him with the Word. Amen? That's the guy, you know, let him that thinketh he standeth. Well, I know that one. I know that scripture. Well, fine, you may know that scripture, but you may not know what God is saying that day on that scripture. It's like if you don't show up here, you don't know what we're teaching today. You may know the scripture, but that scripture may have a revelation tied to it today. Amen? So, come ahead. I mean, God provided for that with pastors and teachers. He provided for that. Amen? It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not speaking to you, but He's also provided that too. So everything that God's provided, I'll take advantage of. Acts 5:20. Go, stand in the temple. Go stand in the temple and speak all the words of life. Go stand in the temple and speak all the words of life. So when they stood in the temple, listen, I want to tell you something. When they stood in the temple, they weren't standing in the holy place. They were actually personally dwelling in the Holy of Holies. Personally. Individually. What that means is, as a believer in Christ, the temple was rent in two, and those who were believers and those who were given this command to go stand in the temple, they're in the Holy of Holies, not in the temple, but in the temple of God. So you're already standing in the temple of God. You are seated together with Him in heavenly places. Now, when He says go stand in the temple, that was the public area of the temple. That's where Jesus taught. Jesus taught in the public areas of the temple. It was a public gathering area. And that's where He taught. That's where He taught. And that's where the disciples also taught the Scripture. And in fact, that's where you'll teach, is in the public. He says, go stand in the public. Go stand in the public place and teach all the words of life. Go stand. Now, where does your standing come in? Your standing comes in, it's not just you standing up. Your standing comes in is because you're already filled with the truth. And you're standing. For by faith you stand. So you're standing because you know that you have the words of life. You're standing because you know that you have the words of life. Amen? Now what I'm talking to you about is your ministry, your personal ministry. My personal what? I thought that's something y'all had. Pastors, people like that. No, yeah, no, it's something you've got. You have a personal ministry. Amen? How many of you woke up this morning? Go ahead, that's an easy question. How many of you Well, maybe you're sleeping now, but it's a good test to see if you're awake. Yeah. How many of you woke up this morning? Just kind of do this and put it down. There you go. All right, good. Yeah. Now, if you'll stand and come forward. No, I'm just. But those of you who stood up, if you woke up this morning, you have a ministry. You have a ministry to the people, to walk out into the public place, to stand in the public place and declare the words of life. You remember the admonition, you know, preach. Who was it? Can't remember. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Amen. Romans 5. Let's look at that one, and then we'll be done. Where'd it go? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We've been justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. Access is a great word. Amen? You like that one? Access means, yeah, man, awesome. That means I get free access. I just get to come in whenever I want. By whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access into His grace at all times. Access into His grace forever, ever, ever. Every need. For everything that's coming up. For every part of what ministry that God has for you, you have access into His grace. He has never left you, never forsaken you. You are always with Him. He is always with you. Whether you're at work, whether you're at school, whether you're at the store, whether you're at home, doesn't matter what you're doing, is that the grace of God is always with you. When? When you're in that Word. When the Word of God has free reign and free access into your life. We have access by faith into this grace, not by works, not by working hard, but by faith. By faith. By faith alone. It's not by doing it. It's by walking in it and allowing that word to have complete reign, complete freedom to speak to your heart. And not only, okay, and it says, and that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, watch what happens. We glory in tribulations. We do. Oh, yeah, we do. Not only that, we glory in tribulations. Tribulations don't tribulate us. Tribulations don't blow me away. Amen? They don't blow me away. Say it, they don't blow me away. It's true. It's really true. And patient, okay, and it says then, but we glory in tribulations, knowing this, that tribulations work patience. Tribulations work patience. Produce patience. Patience produces experience. And experience produces hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Now, what is that hope? That hope is the expectation of the very next time. That based on the experience that God has met my needs today, He'll meet them again tomorrow. He is always faithful. He is always true. There's not a time when he has failed. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Boy, I just want to keep going. Hallelujah. But well, it's a good place to stop. Let's all stand. And we're not leaving yet, just stand. Father, I just thank You for every one of these here today. I thank You, Lord God, that we are standing. that we're standing because you have made us to stand. You've caused us to stand upon your word, upon your promise. I thank you, Lord God, because the name of Jesus, the name which is above every name, and by his blood has transformed us and brought us into his kingdom. And I thank you this day, Lord God, that we have girded up, we are girding up the loins of our mind, being renewed in the spirit of our mind, not allowing ourselves to be conformed to this world, but conformed to the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord God, for the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through each man, woman, and child this morning. Father, we thank you that they are transformed, that they stand not according to works, not according to effort, but according to the Word that is on the inside of them. And they stand according to faith. And Father, we thank you that that Word is transforming us and causing us to receive your perfect and complete salvation. And that perfect salvation is one that is not condemning us. It does not condemn, but in fact, it forgives every failure. So we thank you that we walk in total purity before you because of your promise and because of the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. And sin does not have dominion over me. Sin does not have dominion over me. And the Word of God, hidden in my heart, transforms me from the inside out, changing me. That the demonstration, the proof of the gospel, the proof, what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, manifests as I praise you, and as I thank you, and as I fellowship with you, and as I search out your word. So I pray for this congregation, these people today, Lord. I pray for each one who would say amen. In Jesus' name.